Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak tonight upon a message that I've entitled, Who is this Melchizedek? Chapter 14 of the book of Genesis. I won't be long. This is my whole sermon right here. So you can all relax. Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 14. Who is this Melchizedek? Men have long pondered that question. Some say he is Shem, and some say he is the Holy Ghost. Some say he is Christ. And some with a little more propriety say we cannot tell. Some say he was an angel. And they're all wrong. Genesis 14, verse 12. Now, first of all, I should explain that five kings, each king of a walled city, back in ancient days, almost 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years before Christ, 500 years before Moses, before there was the law instituted on Mount Sinai, before there was a priesthood, before there was any such thing as a Hebrew nation or Jews, five kings confederated together that they might give their power unto the beast, talking about the devil. And they went out and took captives of others about them. And among the captives was the nephew of Abraham by the name of Lot and his family. And so we read in verse 12, and they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. They took the one who dwelt in Sodom, a type of this last day world. And there came one that had escaped, and he told Abraham. Verse 14, and when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, now see, he was his nephew, but he was also his brother, you know what I mean? We are brothers. He armed his trained servants. They were his army, but they were his servants. And they were in his own household. Born in his own house, they were as sons of God who are servants, and also his army. 318, and he pursued them under Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night. Now, here we see night represents the very end of the age. Darkness spiritually. And here we see that Abraham, which is a type of God in one figure and yet in another figure, and the figure we're going to see here is a type of the saints of God, not God himself. And he smote them and pursued them under Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus, which is the end of the world, edge of the wilderness. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Now there's coming a day in the end of the age when darkness is coming in which no man can work. At which time soon there will be a call about midnight that the bridegroom cometh. There is coming kings of the earth. Not five this time, but 10. Double the number. 10 kings of the earth are going to give their power unto the beast. But this time that beast shall be incarnate in man and shall be called the Antichrist. You that have had an extensive teaching in Apocalypse and PLD and so forth know what I'm talking about. And these kings are going to, by reason of their power unto this beast, they're going to take, not Abraham, they won't get him, but they're going to get his nephew. They're going to get his spiritual brother. They're going to get others who live in Sodom in this world. And they're going to take them captive and subjugate them unto themselves that they would obey them, and they will be king over them. But there's going to come an Abraham of God. There's going to come those that will take the servants from their own household. And by night, they are going to go out and they're going to rescue them. And they're going to bring them back. And they're not only going to bring them back, but they're going to bring the goods back. And the women as well. And all the people, praise the Lord. The Bible says that the head of the beast shall be wounded as unto death. And there was a time that he was, but is not, and yet shall be. I'm glad there's a time when he is not. And we're going to live to see that he is not by the power of God. Now he is, you know that. But take heart, there's coming a day when he will, we can say he is not. For God's people, we shall be ruling. Hallelujah. Verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now here was a man we've never met before in the scriptures, named Melchizedek. He was the king of a walled city named Salem, which was hard by where Abraham lived, for he lived in Mamre. And I don't mean hard by, I mean it was some distance from. And yet, although Abraham lived on Mamre, which is some distance from Salem, yet when Abraham came back after winning the victory, strange enough, the king of Salem was on hand to welcome Abraham. Now this man, this Melchizedek, brought the same ingredients as the Lord's Supper, bread and wine, prefiguring him who would come and give his own servants, who are victors in God, the bread and wine. And he was not only king, but he was priest. Now, there had not been a priesthood yet. Nothing had been said concerning priests. The nation of priests had not yet been. The other cities, did, as far as we know, did not have priests. I submit there was one city on the face of the earth in that day that was blessed because of a man who was king there. But he was blessed not because he was king, but because he was a priest as well as a king. And so there must have been a worship unto God, and this one was a mediator of the of that covenant that God made. And yet he was not among the Abrahamic covenant, for he was not of Abraham. He probably was a Sethite. Now Seth means compensation. Compensated for Abel, who was killed by Cain, even as Christ was killed. But Seth is not the killed one, he's the resurrected one. He's the one that comes after, and he was of him. Now, this Melchizedek, was priest in that city, so there was a city that must have had a relationship with God, and this was not a Levitical relationship. It was not after a carnal law of commandments. But there was something here that was a free priesthood of a praise unto him and a righteousness in God, there was something ahead of time. Just like Enoch was caught out ahead of time. There was a man ahead of time. You know, God has had a lot of men ahead of time to show forth Christ. Each one only in part. And Christ was all of them wrapped into one and more besides. Forerunners of Christ, Adam. This one who was breathed into by God and was the creation of God himself. And so was Christ, who was the Son of God directly, as Adam was. And who became partakers of the sins of his wife, the church. And therefore tasted death, because he willingly, because of love for us, he partook of the sins of our transgressions. He was not deceived, as we were. Even as Adam was not deceived, it was Eve. And willingly, because of his love for her, he went into death with her and partook of what she had done being deceived. There was Enoch who walked with God and was caught out, and he was a man ahead of the time. He's pointing toward Christ. There was a man named Noah, a preacher of righteousness, prefiguring the Christ, who is the preacher of righteousness, who preached to the generation that would not hear him until God sent a judgment upon Jerusalem, and so there was a bloodbath of 3.5 million souls. They were driven out from the land, and they were not allowed to even look at the land. They said, if you can see the city of Jerusalem, you're too close. If you can see your land, you're too close. Get away from your land. You can't even live there. And the Jews have been a byword, kicked from pillar to post for nearly 2,000 years. And so Noah was born up on the floodwaters and carried aloft. And so Jesus Christ was born up upon the floodwaters that came against his soul in the earth. But he was born up, carried aloft, and he landed on another mountain for a new day over in glory. There was a man named Isaac who was a man of promise, who was given after a long, long time when the world was bringing Ishmaels, when they were trying to, something that Israel was somehow trying to bring forth. But finally came the Isaac of God, the miracle one who was put upon the altar and gave himself freely. There was a man named Moses who was hidden when the king tried to kill all the children like Jesus was, who was brought up in this world like Moses under Pharaoh, under Caesar, but who was not of him. And who came to deliver his people, to lead them out of Egypt with a high hand, deliver them and take them across unto Canaan land. And there was a man named Elijah who brought forth and manifested the name of his God, saying, I have manifest the name that thou gavest me to Baal, letting him know that El was Yahweh. Letting him know that Yahweh was El, I mean to say. And letting him know who God was. The prophet of God, whose mantle fell upon the Elishas, the church who followed after him. And greater works than these shall he do, because he went to the Father and he was caught up. And there was a man named David who became king. And he did what all those before him would not do, although God commanded him. Drive out all the enemies. And he did so. And there was a man named Solomon who was a king of peace, and he was the wisdom of God, representing the greater Solomon who owns all things. Now Solomon took many wives. He took wives from every nation. That's what Jesus did. Took many wives from many nations. Took them all. Of course, his Shulamite is his favorite one. Down to the end, that one who is matured, who is in love with him as none of the others. Oh, he had half-wives, concubines. He had slave wives. He had queens. But the Shulamite was special ones. Although the virgins also flocked after him. That's only showing what Jesus. That's what he's done. Oh, he wasn't supposed to take wives, you say. Son wasn't supposed to. I know, neither was Jesus. But his grace reached out. He said, I'm not sent but the lost house of Israel. But he reached out to the ends of the earth. And said, this temple shall be a temple of prayer for all nations. There was a man named Daniel that was put in the lion's den for his faith. And that's where Jesus was put, right down there with the lions. But he triumphed him with a goodly spirit. Was made president over the whole realm. God exalted him and gave him a name above every other name. And there was a man named Jonah. For 3 days and three nights went down into the whale's belly. And there was a man named Jesus that for 3 days and three nights went down, the Bible says, to the heart of the earth. And there was a man named Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who wept for those in Jews who went in Babylon but who would not heal. And for those that remained in Jerusalem, because he was the prophet in Jerusalem while Ezekiel was in Babylon. So Jesus, the greater Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, stood in the very same place as Jeremiah, and he wept over the city the same as Jeremiah. He said, "How oft would I have gathered you to my wing as a hen to the brood, but you would not." And there was a man named Samson who looked like any other man, but he picked up the gates of the city, carried him up on the hill of Hebron. A man who had tremendous strength, and he had a vow before God to keep himself. And he only prefigured him who Jesus Christ, the greater Samson. Though he looked as a man, yet never man spake as this man. This man had power with God. Not a physical power, but he had a greater power, a spiritual power. So also Melchizedek prefigured the greater Melchizedek, that king priest that was to come. For you see, there had been no other man, and there was to come no other man that was to be a king and a priest. David was king, but he was no priest. Solomon was king, but he was no priest. Oh, there was a man named Samuel, a very remarkable teacher of God, an administrator who was a judge of Israel. And he was a priest, but he was not a king. God was king. God said, "I don't want an earthly king." Although the people wanted an earthly man to be king, he says, "No, I want them to be judges. I am king. There's only one king." But there was a man who dared to be a king priest. And that man's name was Saul. And he lost his life and his kingdom because of it. He was a king. And he began to offer sacrifices. After waiting 7 days for Samuel, the priest, to show up. And he did not, and he was afraid, because on the plain of Michmash, he could see the Philistines arming, and he was afraid that they would come down upon him at any time, and they had to sacrifice and have this time of burnt offerings and so forth, expiation of sins before the men went into battle, lest they die with their sins upon them. But they panicked and didn't wait long enough for their Samuel to come. You've got to wait for Samuel to come, young men and young women. Don't panic and run out. Wait for Samuel to come. He came on the very day that he sinned. And God says, because of this, you will have the kingdom rent from you. There is not to be another king priest until Jesus comes. This man was the only man allowed from Adam to the present hour. That would be a king priest, accepting Jesus, for he was to prefigure him. And yet, that is not entirely so. It is so accepting in the spirit. You see, because in the Old Covenant it says that we are a kingdom of priests under God. That's what it says in the Old Testament, a kingdom. We're a whole nation of priests. We are to be mediators between God and man. But it's not until the new covenant that we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and verses 5 and 6. I'll soon be back to Genesis again. Revelation chapter 1, we read, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Not to us be glory, but to him. He hath made us kings and priests. Jesus is the King of kings, and he's our great high priest. There is not to be another. But it's no longer I, but Christ. Members of his body. Baptized into him. Taking his name. And so we are in him, kings and priests. So this Melchizedek not only prefigures Christ, but he prefigures those that are in Christ. And they are beginning to be realized in that man-child company at the end of time, because there is to be someone who is above and beyond all others, because they've gotten out of the way, and let Christ be all in all. He's going to be king of the New Jerusalem. Melchizedek was a king of Salem above this earth. Now, in Genesis again, we read in verse 18 that Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, that is Abraham, and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." God possesses heaven and earth. He's Most High. And he blessed Abraham. This is all rather strange in a way, because Abraham did not live in Salem. He was not technically under Melchizedek. He was a patriarch in his own right and the father of a multitude of nations. He was wealthy beyond all measure. He had his own servants in his own household, a great number, and was very wealthy. And yet, coming back from the slaughter of the five kings, and he only went out with 300 and something men, and the five kings had great armies. So, very obviously, it wasn't Abraham who defeated them. And we have the words of Melchizedek to that effect, that say it was not Abraham. And Melchizedek went out and he blessed Abraham. Isn't that strange? He took it upon himself to bless him. We'll read more about that in the book of Hebrews. And he said, "Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." It was God that did this. And he gave him tithes of all. There wasn't any priesthood. And Abraham gave tithes until Melchizedek, this king priest of Salem, which was quite some distance from Mamre, which was still over Mesopotamia. That's quite amazing. And Abraham was wealthy. That means a tremendous sum. And he'd taken spoil. Now, we don't hear of Melchizedek again for 1,000 years. And his name pops up in the book of Psalms, chapter 110. Verse 1. Notice the setting here. "The Lord," that's Yahweh, all capital letters, "said unto my Lord," that's small letters, that's Adon, meaning master, David speaking prophetically here of God saying to Christ as a man who was yet to come, yet 1,000 years in the future, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." This was not one person of God talking to another person of God, because this was deity talking to man. He says, "You sit," giving a commandment, "at my right hand," to be my right-hand man, "and I give you my authority, until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And someday you're going to put your feet on your enemies that are against you. Right. Speaking about that perfect Adam that God made, that last race of men, that last Adam, Christ Jesus. "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion." Zion is the church in the new covenant. And out of Zion, out of the church, shall come the rod of Christ's strength. His strength will come out of his church. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Out of Christ's church shall come Christ's rod of rule, and he shall rule the nations through his people. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Jesus prayed for that. And David, by the mouth of God, said, utterance of God, said that his Christ's people shall be willing in the day when he manifests his power. They are going to become willing. Hallelujah. My friend, you're going to see things like the world has never seen in this generation. Don't you despair. You're going to see that. If you just think you're going to see just a little bit of a shout in church, you don't know the half. You're going to see things. The world is going to be so amazed. They're going to stand and say, who has seen such things? Who has heard such things? Shall the earth bring forth in one day? The crop is here in one day. I didn't even know it was in the land. And all of a sudden, here it is. What would you do if you drive by a land? You see a barren field. And excepting for some stocks. You drive by the same day and it's all ready for the harvest. That's what they're going to see. A nation born in a day. What if you see a great continent out there and there's nobody there? And the very same day, evening, you come back and it's loaded with people from coast to coast. You're going to see a revival that is going to cause God's people to come out of that visible church. That invisible body is going to come out. And it's going to be in a nation of people from coast to coast and around the world. And the people are going to be amazed. Where comes these people? Because God is going to loosen the tongues, strings of the tongue. He is going to breathe into them the breath of life. He's going to blow through them the jubilee trumpet. And they're going to go forth as kings and priests. As a ten million Melchizedek's. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power in the beauty of holiness. Oh, we've been longing for beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning. From that womb of a new day. There is going to come forth a people. Hallelujah. A willing people. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The refreshment. Even as herbs lay out their blood dead. Until the dew hits them. And the scripture says they come alive and people are amazed. People are going to be, there's a lot of herbs. Dead herbs laying all over the ground. Parched, dry, cracked ground. Showing that there had been a rain a long time ago and has been since dried up. Herbs are laying there dead, flat, limp on the ground. There's coming a refreshing dew in which they are going to begin to lift up their hands unto the Lord and their heads unto the Lord, and they are going to be full of life. The Lord hath sworn, he's taking an oath, he's sworn by the greatest, his own name, and he will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He is saying Jesus is going to be a king, that last Adam. But that last Adam, you know, is more than Jesus. It's those that are in Jesus. They are going to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. King priests, kings and priests under God. He hath made us, we read in Revelation, kings and priests unto God. Revelation is talking about the wrap-up. It can say that in Revelation because it's now come to pass. You don't see that earlier because yet we are sons of the King, harassed in the world. But before it's over, he's going to be able to say we're kings and priests under God. The Lord will not repent. He repented that he made the earth. He repented that he made the world. And he drowned them in the days of Noah. But of this Jesus and of this plan and of this order of Melchizedek priesthood that shall come, he shall never repent of it. And this Jesus shall be a priest all the days of his life. But he's the Alpha and the Omega. He does not die. Now, Melchizedek was a priest as long as he lived. But this Jesus, ever liveth to make intercession for us as a Melchizedek priesthood. And to us he said, he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Right.
Then we shall be king priests forever.
Right.
Hallelujah. The Lord at thy right hand, this is Adon again, at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. This last Adam shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. That's what the man shall do. 10 kings this time, Abraham, not 5.
Right.
He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. That's what happens in Armageddon. Christ shall fill, in the Ezekiel chapter 39, they shall call it the field of Ham and Gog, that is the multitude of God. They shall be slain all over the land when they come against God's covenant people. He shall wound their heads over many countries. Hallelujah. We don't hear of Melchizedek again after this for another 1,000 years. Hebrews chapter 7 this time and verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Oh, that thrills me. We're going to return from the slaughter of the kings. Those kings of the earth are going to go down.
Right.
To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. You know, there's coming a day when we are in him are going to have finally come to be overcomers. So we also, not I, but Christ liveth in me, shall be kings of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Right.
And kings of righteousness, which is our very breastplate of righteousness. And we did receive a tenth from Abraham, or we wouldn't be here. We are children of Abraham. Because of Abraham, we have received tithes of Abraham. Abraham paid tithes into Christ and also into us. And we are still using those tithes of Abraham.
Right.
Without, speaking of Melchizedek now again, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Now, some people say this means that he was Christ. But no, because it says, but made like unto the Son of God. Didn't say he was the Son of God. He was made like unto the Son of God. Oh, he's the Holy Ghost then. No, 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 no. Because he was made. The Holy Ghost isn't made anything. The Holy Ghost isn't made like unto a son. This one was a man. You don't take God and say without father or mother. Now, it does not mean that Melchizedek did not have a father, nor did not have a mother, nor the beginning of days, nor end of days. It means he lived forever and he was eternal. Because he could not have been, because he was not God. But it says that he was made like unto the Son of Man, and the Son of Man had a beginning, and he had a beginning in this life, and he had an ending in this life, and he had a father, and he had a mother, and so did this man. But it means, because it's talking of his priesthood, not of his life. In the Aaronic priesthood, that is the priesthood after the days of Moses at Mount Sinai, Aaron became high priest. And his sons became priests. And through Aaron, there was a priesthood passed in the tribe of Levi from father to son, and we have an Aaronic priesthood. And they had to become priests by reason of the father and mother. But this man did not derive his priesthood because of his lineage. He had no father or mother that were priests. Christ had none. He neither had he a beginning of his priesthood. They could not become priests until 30 years old, and they could not be priests after 50 years old. But Christ was priest all the days of his life, and Melchizedek was priest all the days of his life, and we are called to be priests all the days of our life. Now, we also are to be made like unto the Son of God. And that's what he's doing, is making us like unto the Son of God.
Right.
Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. We talk about great men in the Bible, and our minds immediately go to men like Abraham, Moses, Elijah, Samuel, men like this. How often do we mention Melchizedek? We never mention Melchizedek, because we don't know much about Melchizedek. Melchizedek was superior to Abraham. He gave tithes uphill to him. Abraham blessed downhill to him. Abraham was king and priest. I mean, Melchizedek was. And Abraham was neither. He was superior. He stood apart. He stood above all the others in the Old Covenant. Melchizedek was undoubtedly the greatest man of the entire Bible, at least typologically speaking, and at least as far as his position and office was concerned. And verily they that are the sons of Levi, that's the Aaronic priesthood in Levi after Moses' time, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. See, they're supposed to take tithes, so are we. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. He blessed Abraham who had all the promises, so he was greater. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed by the better. So he wasn't the Holy Ghost. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he that received him of whom it is witnessed that he liveth, speaking of Christ. And as I may so say, Levi also receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? There is a need for another people. A people who are kings and priests. People who take the mantle of Jesus Christ and go out and do the same thing and show Christ and be Christ unto the people. For the priesthood being changed, there was made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. A tribe that they paid no attention to in Moses. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And yet we, as Christ, in Judah, in Babylon, was called Jews. And the scripture says we are Jews, which are spiritual Jews, one inwardly, because of Christ. And it is far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there riseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Our priesthood is not after the manner of a law. It is not after the manner of the laws of men, nor the laws of the old covenant, but rather after power. Power of an endless life, because we have been born from above, and we ever liveth with a new spirit for God. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I'm going to read verse 26. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And that's our calling. Holy, undefiled, separate from sinners, to be separated. And someday he's going to make us higher than the heavens. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs, equal heirs with Jesus Christ. We are Melchizedek's in him. Amen. That's right. We all Melchizedek in Christ. We are in Christ. We shall rule and reign with Him. We'll join heirs with Him. What else do you think? We are Melchizedek in Christ. He's a type of Christ and the man-child, the great man-child to come. Hallelujah. Praise the name of God. You see, brethren, our high calling. And we are down at the end of the age. Praise the name of the Lord. And these things shall soon become clear and evident. And this office God shall put and vindicate in the earth. And the people are going to see, they're going to take the captives back that Satan has wrested away.
Right.
Amen.